Thank you for joining us on the Men After God podcast. I'm Pastor Jason, and as always, we're having conversations to equip the next generation of godly men. On this episode, we'll be talking about going from boys to men. Pastor Donnie, Pastor Orlando, Pastor Terrence will all be joining me today. But before we get started, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and share this podcast episode with someone else. For questions, prayer, or to learn more about our next in-person fellowship gathering, visit us on Instagram at Men After God Podcast, or you can visit us online at menaftergod.com. Enjoy the episode.
All right. Praise God. Praise God. Welcome back to the Men After God Podcast. I've got some amazing brothers with me as always. I'm going to just introduce them in a moment, but I want to welcome you back, the listener. I know it's been a minute. But we are here to deliver the word of God and to help a brother in need. And I know that you are going to be helped by what you hear today. So with me in the studio, I've got Pastor Donnie, I've got Pastor Orlando, and I've got Pastor Terrence, who's actually going to kick off this amazing topic. We're all excited. We're ready to go. We're ready to do something great today. But Pastor Terrence, I'm going to turn it over to you. Go ahead and get started for us.
All right, fellas, you know, the Lord really have an awesome topic for us. And, you know, the name of this topic is From Boys to Men. From Boys to Men.
Amen.
And it was a scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. And this scripture reads, as when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things.
Amen.
So, fellas, let's go in. Amen.
That's good. I like that.
Amen.
Let's go in. And I mean, you know, as we really think about it, you know, sometimes men just think chronologically, right? That it's a matter of age, right? Once I'm 18, I'm a grown man. And nobody can tell me nothing, and I'm just going to do whatever it is that I want to do. But as we know, as life continues to happen, that it takes much more than just reaching an age to be a man. And if a person thinks that, more than likely, there's a little boy inside of this adult male. Mm-hmm. And so the first thing, or just one of the things that I would like for us to elaborate on is, you know, what are the signs that a man is still living as a boy?
who want to jump in first? You want to go over?
Me, man. Shoot, I would say, man, still selfish.
Come on.
You're still selfish, man. I remember, man, when I was a boy, man, you know, man, for Christmas, man, it was all about, you know, remote control cars for me, man. And I didn't allow nobody to lay a finger on my remote control cars, man. I didn't care who you were, family or not, you know. But, you know, what I realized, man, is like even in those moments as a kid, man, those caused a lot of problems between me and my brothers, man, as it pertains to what I thought was mine and what they thought was theirs, you know what I'm saying? And even carrying on into my adulthood in me being a father, man, like that sort of bad attribute about me, you know, as it pertains to being selfish, you know, that had to fall off me, you know what I'm saying? Because it wasn't just me no more. Though I would always say, hey, man, look, I need some me time and here and there, you know, there was also an understanding that, man, you know what? It's not about me. It's not about me. You know, I'm raising a family now. And so that selfishness had to fall off, man. But that's one of the biggest things, man. That's one of the biggest indicators, you know, because men these days, man, some men who have that selfishness in them, you see it. You see how, you know, when it comes to material things, man, it's man, look what I got. Look what I got. Look what I got, man. And that's something that has to be broken if we're going to be able to lift the next man up.
Amen.
Selfishness.
Yes, sir. Amen. I would add, and I'm
man.
I'm gonna throw in a baseball analogy if I can, man. It's and it kind of goes along with what you're talking about. You know, in baseball, there's somebody that'll lay down a bunt, right? And it's like they call it a sacrifice bunt. And how many of us are willing to lay down or make a sacrifice of our own opportunity to get on base, to get a home run, to get our name in the paper or whatever, to get our name up in lights? How many of us as men are willing to lay down our own ambitions for the greater good? And that
Man.
good being, you know, being your family, being, you know, serving in your local house, whatever it is, you know. And I was just thinking about it. I was explaining it to my son, a bunt, you know, a couple of weeks ago. And it's crazy, as I'm talking to him, the Lord just be revealing stuff. And, you know, as I'm talking to him, and I'm like, yeah, it's somebody that's willing to give up an opportunity so that someone else could advance. Why are we not often willing to make that sacrifice, right? You know, at some point, I love playing football, love sports, but sometimes I had to put it down at some point and take on like real responsibilities. Like, we can't still have hoop dreams, you know, at certain points. It don't have to be basketball, it could be something else, but you know, we got to put some things down and be willing to lay down our own ambition. One, because we want to take on God's plan for our lives. And then us as fathers and husbands, leading homes, whatever it is. I mean, you could be selfish and working at a job. You don't have to have kids. You can be single, unmarried, but you want to be the
Come
star
on, man.
of the job or something like that. You unwilling to just serve or just be quiet for a little while and just play Alfred to Batman. You know, we all want to be the we all want to have our name up in the light. So for me, it's you know, one of the things that keeps us a boy is unwilling to make the hard decisions and unwilling to make the sacrifices and unwilling to lay down our ambitions for the greater good.
Yeah, that's good stuff, Pastor Jason. You know, the thing I think about when Pastor Terrence presented this was just like, who taught us to be men? Did we ever like truly get that lesson? And I had to like ponder back myself and just think, like, you know, every young man, teenager, young adult has to transition into adulthood, but you know, we might not ever receive lessons along the way on what is a man, how is a man to carry himself, you know, and what I should look like as a man. I think we figure it out or just take notes, you know, from other men around us. And sometimes it just does not work out. You know, we pick up bad habits along the way. And I believe, you know, some brothers figure it out. Other brothers, you know, make shipwreck and find themselves in situations that they probably didn't want to find themselves in. But that's the biggest thing that I could think of, you know, as a hindrance to a boy becoming a man. It's just like not being taught how to be a man. Like, what is a man?
Amen.
So,
Amen. So you feel like we learn from our environment.
100%.
Okay.
100%.
So we just
Man.
reproducing more
Man,
people
come
in the
on.
same environment. So that's why it might be hard
Man.
for folks to break free, because it's like we see those around us and they set the example, they set the standard for what a man is. And I don't, you know, nobody really. You know, it's not like there's a man school out there, you know, where just, you know, you don't get an award like
No.
you become a man, right? I think you get responsibilities when you become a man. Like you're willing to take on those responsibilities. But I think to Pastor Donnie's point, man, that's awesome, because we just pass it down from brother to brother, brother to son, father to son, whatever it is. It could be wrong as two left shoes, but we keep doing it because that's we don't know no better.
No, you got it, man. And a lot of times, if we look back far enough, we'll find the root. It's just on us, you know, to wake up and to break, you you know, a bad tradition or bad practice that was instituted just because of what you said, what our environment was at the time. So,
man, but I, you know what, man, look, I want to sound the alarm right now. Bling, 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 bling. Look, look, man, men, our boys need us. Mm. Our boys need us.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, man, dude, like it was the same, man. Like, it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village, man. And a lot of times, man, those villages weren't safe.
Yeah.
It wasn't the villages that we would have hoped for that would have, you know, brought our sons and our daughters in and nurtured them to some successful person in life, or even just as individuals, man. We have to have a grander outlook on what our kids is listening to, mm-hmm. who they listening to. We have to be inspectors, man, because the village these days, man, is not like the village, you know, back in the day when you had grandmas and aunties who really cared about, you know what I'm saying, these young boys and these young girls out here, man. But it was because men weren't in their proper position. Men were leaving homes. Men were, you know, doing what they wanted to do. You know, men were strung out on drugs. You know what I'm saying? So it left our kids to an environment, man, that wasn't really healthy. And even to this day, you know what I'm saying? It's boys out there, man. It could be your uncle. It could be your nephew, your great nephew. They out there right now, and they trying to find love in the streets because mm-hmm. that's their village.
Yeah,
that's their village.
So Pastor,
you know what I'm saying? And sometimes, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so I guess it would be safe to say that men don't, boys don't become men without fathers. If you don't have a father.
Come on, man. Yes. Come on, man.
How can you become a man?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that just speaks to the importance of everything yes. that you spoke yeah. on. You know, the outcomes we witness yeah. and even experience personally. In some cases, you know, just living out, you know, what our environment, you know, delivered to us, you know, outside of having a father. And yeah. I mean a father, not like I have a dad. Everybody got a dad, whether you know them or not. But did we have a father?
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
That's good stuff, Pastor O.
Man. I think we think we had, I don't know, it's just as a dad, I think I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, I try to, as we all do, live by the word of God. And so, you know, for us, there's even a difference between, you know, I think I taught a message years ago about, you know, are you a man or are you a man of God? Mm. And it's a difference because we are men of the kingdom of God and we do things differently, right? And so just some men, you know, maybe they believe that, you know, you got to be harsh with your son. You got to beat him up. You got to smack him around. You got to make him tough because the street's going to make you, you know, tough or not be tough. But God's got a better way for us to lead our families with love. You know, are we a man may think, you know, separating himself from his son, not showing affection to his son, to his daughter is somehow training them. When that's the exact opposite of what the Bible teaches us to do, and that's to walk in love with everybody that we come across. And so for a lot of us, we got to make, you know, we got to make a shift, man, to not just do things, especially when we come into the knowledge of God, right? We can't just go to church, right? The church could be that community. It could be that village. Ray helped raising our kids and immersing them in an environment where they're surrounded by love, man, like at the river, man. And so that's something that as parents, as dads, we have to, like O said, man, we got to look out for those things and making sure that our little ones, our loved ones, our families are in the right environment so that they can thrive, man. And so I just want to challenge every man listening, to seek the Lord about what it means to be a man, or to be a, but to really be a man of God, to be a man after God's own heart, to be one that, you know, I know Pastor Terrence says often, like, hey, look, you sometimes you got to apologize to your little ones. And how many, yeah, how many men are actually going to do that? How many men are actually going to apologize to their wives, things like that, when they make mistakes? You know, how many of us are really going to do that? But the word teaches us to live truthfully, to live honestly, to live above reproach, man. And so, you know, we got to make that shift. I think that's part of going from a boy to a man, to maybe to a man of God, is that partnership with the Lord, that partnership with the Holy Spirit, man. Because, you know, we all it's funny, we always talk about like growing up in the house of God years ago, and how it was, how we did life together as men and women of God. And it was like discipleship through experiencing life together. And I don't want to lose that. Like, I feel like that was an awesome experience. And to go from boys to men of God, we can't neglect that, that discipleship that needs to take place, and even in our own homes, man, because it's so important to the development, not just of our children, but to our fellow brother, man. It's some men out there that need some help and support. So it's not just all about the little ones, but I just hope that, you know, if some brothers are out there listening right now, that, you know, that you would get, if I can borrow a line from Pastor Donnie, and that's to get plugged in. get plugged into a local house where you can get fed the word of God, man. And so, and I know we were talking before about this, and, you know, how does a man, brothers, how does a man even know? Like, is it a light switch that go off, a light bulb that goes off? You know, how do you know you've made that switch, that transition to no longer being a boy? We talked about like things that boys still do. Like, how do you know you kind of transition into manhood? Because it's not an age thing, as Pastor Terrence talked about.
You know, I'll say this, you know, one of the signs is that when a man is now willing to know that they cannot do it on their own.
Amen.
And, you know, that's to your point to say, you know, get plugged in. You know, a little boy says, you know, I can't do it on my own. Everything about a little boy is trying to claim independence.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
But the real man is the man that's in authority, that can be under authority.
Yes.
And so I believe that that's a major transition, is that when that man realized that, you know what, no, I'm still submitted to a higher authority, that I'm not trying to be out here rogue, and to say that it starts and ends with me, mm-hmm, with my thought. I always have the final thought, you know, but rather to know that, you know what, my life, it's dependent on God, on some, there is greater. And so when a man desire to be father, when a man position himself to be father, because there are, every man has a dad, but now, so yeah, the men need to be fathered, but then also a man have to allow,
mm-hmm,
themselves to be fathered.
Amen.
You know, so there's it's accountability on both ends. You know, I've had this conversation with my older boys, and I said this. I said, you know, yeah, I'm your dad, but you have to allow me to father you.
Amen.
Because it is a decision that has to be made, and so it starts with the will. So that's what I would definitely say to that question.
Amen. Man, I wanted to just ask, like, you talked about, like, being fathered. Like, I don't know about y'all, but, like, in the last 7 years, I've probably heard that word way more than I've ever heard it before in my life. Like, when y'all hear that word, to be fathered, what is that? Like, what pops into you guys' mind as men of faith, like, when you hear that word?
I immediately gravitate to, you know, my relationship with God, number one, I don't necessarily, right or wrong, think of my earthly father, you know, when I think of being fathered. And then two, I think of the opportunity that we have being members of a local house to be fathered by our spiritual leadership. And then the other thing is not taking advantage of being fathered and those who are positioned to father us. You know, it's like, what am I missing out on when I don't allow myself, you know, to be fathered? Because I think it's lifelong. It has to be lifelong. You know, our kids are our kids, but they'll always be our kids in the 20s or 30s or 40s or 50s, you know, however, what age there is. Like, fatherhood doesn't stop when they, you know, leave the house.
Amen.
So that's what comes to mind for me.
Amen. You mean you're not kicking them out at 18?
It depends on how the school situation works.
I think about being fathered, man. There is a thought that comes in my mind that says, you have to die. You have to die, meaning my own way of thinking. There's going to be a certain point when my son, you know, he's 15 now, but he's going to be 18 and he's going to be 21. Then he's going to be 35. And he's going to be feeling himself and he's going to be feeling like that, you know, hey, he can make his own decisions. But is he going to be able to still hear the wisdom of his father, even though he is an adult? And when I think about myself, you know, even as it pertains to my heavenly father, man, there's a constant dying of me trying to say, you know what, hey, I got it. I can do it. You know, and sometimes it can be just flesh. It could be flesh rising up. You know what I'm saying? It could be flesh trying to move how I want to move. You know, and I was just telling my wife this today, man, like, man, I have to let God guide me. I got to let God guide my life. And that is a part of him fathering me. But it goes back to Pastor Terrence and what he said as it pertains to us and me allowing God into those spaces. And that's an actual space that God wants to occupy in a man is him having that father position in him, not just him, us as men, knowing God as a friend, knowing God as Lord, but also as Father. But then also knowing our place in that. Knowing our place in that. That yeah, we his sons. He loves us. He already knows the plans that he has for us already. But it's for me, when I hear fathering, there is a continuous breaking off of me and what I want. Amen. And what I think and what I want to say and how I want to tell so-and-so off. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, man, family just stepped on my shoes. Man, I want to tell them something, but no. You know what I'm saying? And so I know that it definitely involves humility. To be fathered, you're going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to humble yourself. It doesn't matter your stature, how much money you got in the bank, but to be fathered by God, it's going to require humility.
It made me think about, I'm about to show my age with this one, man. Made me think about Karate Kid, how Daniel ended up dealing with Mr. Miyagi. Now, Mr. Miyagi, now he didn't look like he was like, he didn't have the appearance as if he knew all this stuff. And I think sometimes we look at our either natural or spiritual fathers that way. We like, they don't look like they gonna get me to the big tournament, right? To win it all.
Yeah.
But he showed him methods of doing things, you know, the wax on and wax off and the painting and the things that's so crazy is that we don't see that we're being discipled and developed until it's like way later. We don't see it while we're going through it. Right. He's painting that fence and he's like, why am I painting this fence? But not knowing him, he's teaching them. Wow. He's like, why am I waxing this man's car? He's showing them how to, you know. And so I think sometimes us, we don't want to be fathered because of the way that, because the package that God sends the father in, we don't want to receive it.
Come on, man. And
the on, methods
man.
That
man, that is so
this
good.
Father has doesn't like, well, you know, they over there shooting threes. I'm not shooting threes. And it's like, but you want, you got to trust the process, right? 76 has been trusting for a long time, but you got to trust the process. But really, you got to trust God. Like that's like faith to me, man. Like trusting God enough to not look at your own natural father, spiritual father, as somebody that ain't good enough to get you wherever you're trying to go in this life. But we got to have a different perspective about that.
Man, that's deep, man. You know, and you know what? For a minute, Pastor Jay, I was thinking he was talking about the Karate Kid with Jaden Smith. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, you caught me off guard with that one. You caught me off guard with that one, man. Man, I love what you said, man. Because even in those techniques, even though Daniel didn't know why, you know, the father knew that. Or the teacher, he knew that there was a fight ahead. There was a fight ahead. And real men know how to fight, and boys know how to run. Real men know how to fight, and boys know how to run.
Come on, man.
You know what I'm saying? But boys run out of ignorance. Boys run out of ignorance. Boys run because their pride didn't allow them to sit under the master's teaching. They thought that they could figure it out. But once the fight came, once your daughter got pregnant came, once your son got into a fight, you didn't know how to react.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know how to respond. So you run. And by running, you ignore the present situation.
Come on.
But we don't have to run if we would sit under the teaching. See, real men know how to sit under the teaching and take notes. Take notes because there's going to come a time, though it may be sunny today. It may be sunny right now. No, man, it ain't always going to be sunny. It's going to rain eventually. It may be raining in California, but it's going to be raining in the shop tomorrow. Get ready. That's so good, man. But I definitely thought you was talking about Jaden Smith, right, kid.
You know about them 80s, man. Come on.
Damn, bro. Man, that's good stuff. Man, but men know, man, you know, I want to ask something, man. You know, Jesus, he calls Peter out to the water.
Mm-hmm.
And so Peter comes and he gets out the boat. He gets out the boat and he has his eyes on Jesus and he begins to sink. And this is what I love about Jesus, man. He pulls a man out of the water who was getting ready to drown. Oh. And I think that is the present state that we are in as men. Is it all about us, or are we willing to pull another brother up who may be drowning? Who may be drowning, who may be getting ready to die in their mess, die in that same old boy mentality. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes boy mentalities come from you hanging around boyfriends. Men who have boy mentalities, they hang around friends who act like boys. And not like men, friends who don't want to take accountability. Friends who ain't going to check you when you're wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Come on, man. That's real.
Yeah, so what do you do about when there's all you hanging around is a whole bunch of people in Never Never Land? Don't want to grow up.
Come on, man.
But you know what's funny though? Because what was the name of the boys that was with Peter Pan?
Come on, man. The Lost Boys.
The Lost Boys.
Come on.
the Lost Boys.
Come on, man. Wow.
Right? How many young men is just hanging around Lost Boys? But they all together. And all we got is each other.
That's it.
Gang, gang. Lost Boys.
Gang, gang.
Of Lost Boys. And so, it's something, because it's imperative that a man is able to realize that there is a boy still in me. Mm-hmm. And my prayer is that for whoever, whatever man is listening, that they would be able to examine themselves and to see the boy that's in them, that they may be able to see the lost boy that's within them. That's growth all in itself, when you're able to see yourself. Amen. You know, but like you said, Pastor O, you say a lot of men are like, hey, look at what I got, or who I am, or what I have on. And you're trying to dress,
yes,
the boy within.
It reminds me of the child putting on their father's suit and tie. It's like you're six, but you got on a grown man shirt, grown man tie, jacket, and pants. And it just, you know, I think if you really look at yourself and you ask the Lord, as Pastor Terrence said, to examine yourself, you might see this little kid in a full grown man suit. And it's time for us as men of God to stop pretending and get some help, right? Not just trying to be independent. I'm gonna be my own little boy over here somewhere. It's time for us to get some assistance, to get some help in this process, because it's going to be needed as we grow up in this life, man. And so I think we're going to wrap up in just a moment, but I wanted to just kind of recap what I'm hearing, man. It's just things that keep us stuck in boyhood is just selfishness, unwillingness to put down our own ambitions. This unwillingness to be fathered is what I think we talked about. And you know, we talked a little bit about what it means to be fathered and how important it is for us as men of God. And we have to allow ourselves, like the Bible says, to let the same mind be in you. You have to allow it, the mind of Christ. He said you can have it. But he also says, let this same mind be in you. We have to let it and allow it to grow us up. We don't want to be lost boys. Because that's what the enemy wants. He wants to keep us unattached to a local house. He wants to keep us separated from families. He wants to keep us aimless, pursuing things that God doesn't want us to be pursuing. Just aimless, wasting time. And ultimately, the enemy, he wants to keep us ineffective, man. He doesn't want... For any man listening, I'm telling you now, we're telling you now, the enemy does not want you to succeed in life. Mm.
Yeah.
And you got to decide what you're going to do about it. Are we going to stay lost? Or are we going to come in? Are we going to come to Christ?
Amen.
And allow him to be the one to raise us up, to grow us up, even though the kingdom methods may not seem normal to the normal mind. But God's got a way for us, brothers. And so I just wanted to go around one last time to see if anybody had any final comments, anything that you guys wanted to add as part of this, any takeaways that you have for the growing number of men listening to this podcast going forward. Anybody, the floor is open.
Man, look, for any man out there that's listening, you know, go pick up somebody else, man. Go pick up another man. Care, and it all starts with just a step. It all starts with just one day, you know, making a decision to say, you know what, I'm going to care about somebody else more than me today. I'm going to encourage a young boy who may be going to the local convenience store, you know, Lord, give me some words that he ain't never heard before, that he ain't never heard from his daddy, that he ain't never heard from his uncle. You know, I've decided, you know what? I'll be the difference. I'll be the change in another man's life. I'll be the change in another boy's life, because I know that I was that boy. I was that boy. And as a man, I'm required to bring change. I'm required to help build up. Amen.
Amen.
Awesome.
Amen.
Really quick. Yeah, I do want to just circle back to what Pastor Jason said, that I do often say is that, you know, for a brother that might find themselves listening to this podcast and you don't know what to do, where to go, you need to get plugged in. One of the greatest benefits to me staying plugged in my early years in faith was that I was around some brothers. While I did have my dad in my life, God actually saw fit that there were some men in the church that I was a member of that fathered me along the way, whether they know it or not. But that would have never happened had I not been plugged into a local house. The local house is still necessary.
Come on.
Let me sound that alarm. The local house, the church house, is still very necessary. Don't let COVID get your mind twisted. Don't let the pandemic have you thinking otherwise. The local house is still open and it's still very necessary. So brothers, get plugged in. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Terrence, you want to close us out with the final word on the topic for today?
As you all were talking, I just really, the Lord showed me that there's a healing that the little boy and some men need very severely. And I just want every man that is listening to understand and to know that there is a father in God that wants to heal the little boy in you, that there are some things that happened in your life that you did not deserve, that you did not cause for those things to happen. And it paused you, and it calls for your growth to be stunted. You know, there's Mephibosheths. There's some men that has been dropped as little boys, and that their walk have just been off ever since they've been dropped as a child. And somebody else supposed to somebody else supposed to protect them, and it did not happen. And so I just want you to know that we're not telling you to just get over it, but we're telling you that there is someone, there is in God that'll heal you through that particular situation. But I just challenge each and every one of you that are listening to be able to humble yourself and not feel like you have to do it on your own. You have to heal your wounds on your own, but allow God to grow you and to heal you, that you may be the man that God has called for you to be. Amen.
Amen. And as always, I pray that you heard something that will assist you in your walk with the Lord. And please make sure that you join a local house of worship where you can get the spiritual and practical teaching that you need. And if you haven't already, take a moment to subscribe, rate, and share the Men After God podcast with someone else. To learn more, visit us at menaftergod.com and be praying for us as we are preparing for the 2024 Mandate Men's Conference. And if I can be helpful to you in your walk with the Lord, please email me at elderjason@rolkm.com.